Father in heaven, thanks so much for your goodness to us. Over and over and over, you are good, and we sense it, we see it, we feel it, we know it. And Lord, even when we run into hard times, like our world is in these days, you are still good, and we feel it and sense it and know it and believe it. So, Lord, thank you for all the good things you do in us and among us. Today, Lord, make your goodness known by revealing yourself to us, by showing us your son, Jesus, and helping us to know who he is and what he's like and what he does for us and how do we live our lives to honor him. Father, we come in the name of Jesus today. Amen. All right, the hat is for the glare. So, yeah, because otherwise you'd be too bright up here for you. Let me read a scripture for us today. We are in a series called What If He Is? And it's all about this this continuing statement that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John where he says, I am. And that's the traditional, historic, memorial name of God where he says, I am. And Jesus comes along and he uses God's name to describe himself, and then he puts it in some metaphors for us. So let me read some scripture for you. If you have your phone and you want to follow along, we've got the notes in the YouVersion Bible app, so you can pull that up. Find the place where it says events, and you'll find Lakeside Church listed there. And we've got some notes for you there, and the scriptures that I'm going to read are right there for you. So listen to this. This is John chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen, I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. I really love that. I love this setting that Jesus is in and where he's talking to his disciples. I love what he says. I love it because John tells us it's a figure of speech, and figures of speech intrigue me. I love it because it's got some metaphors in it, and metaphors intrigue me. And I really love it because it's got mixed metaphors in it, and I got in trouble in high school because I used mixed metaphors. Do you remember this? Any English teachers among us? Anybody who cares about grammar? Yeah, for both of you, let's talk about it. So I've studied this passage for years, like decades, and I get to this part, and Jesus goes, I'm the good shepherd. I'm like, yeah, right on. And then he goes, and I'm the gate, and I'm like, what, Jesus, keep it straight. You get marked down when you mix your metaphors. Now, some of you are like, I don't even know what a metaphor is, so I don't even know what it means to mix them. But let me just describe this for you a little bit so you sort of understand what we're talking about. A metaphor is something that we use to describe something else. One thing describes something else. And a mixed metaphor is when you use two different, maybe contradictory things to describe something. So I found some examples of this. Here's a mixed metaphor. Put that in your pipe and chew on it. Okay, probably some people chew on their pipe, so you know maybe that one doesn't make a lot of sense. How about this? This came from the war on crime, and some political leader made this statement. That moment you walk into the bowels of the armpit of the cesspool of crime, you immediately cringe. Wait, is it the bowels, or is it the armpit, or is it the cesspool? I'm not really sure from what's going on there. And all over the world, English teachers cringed. Or this one. The president will put the ship of state on its feet again. Okay, wait for it. It'll come to you. Mixed metaphors. And Jesus goes, I'm the good shepherd. I go, good. I know what a shepherd is. And then he goes, I'm the gate. I'm like, you can't be both unless you understand some things about shepherds. Let's just talk about a couple things that Jesus says here. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The word that he uses for good is the word that means beautiful. It means healthy or healthful and helpful. He's the good shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He's good for us all the time. And one of the things we find out about this shepherd, Jesus, is some of the things that he does. One thing he does is the good shepherd lays down his life in the opening. Now, if you weren't with us last week, you missed something, but we've got out here at Lakeside Outside on our hillside lawn, we've got some white circles painted on the grass, and we had one out here last week right in front of the stage. I left an opening for it, and we had Cody come down and actually lie down in the opening of that gate. And just by way of reminder, the sheep pens in ancient Israel were made of stone walls, and the gate was left open. It was the most vulnerable part of the wall. But they didn't have a swinging gate to keep it shut. And so the good shepherd laid down his life in the opening. The good shepherd takes the most vulnerable spot in the wall. So in sports these days, we have this, well, not these days because we don't have sports. But like when we used to have sports, you remember it? It was, you know, in a galaxy, a long, long ago, in a galaxy far away, we had sports, and they used to have this thing called the MVP. You remember that? Yeah, which stood for most valuable player. Well, Jesus comes in. He's our Savior. So you go, well, Jesus is the MVP. I get that. He's the most valuable player. But listen to this. Jesus comes into the wall, and he lays down his life in the opening, and he takes the most vulnerable position. The reason Jesus is the MVP of our life, the reason Jesus is so important for us is because he laid down his life in the opening, and later he goes on and he describes it. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for us. He calls us sheep. It says he laid down his life for us. That's why he's the most valuable player. Now, he goes on and he says something interesting. He says, I laid down my life for the sheep only to take it up again. The reason he could lay down his life in the opening, he could protect the sheep from the wolves and the predators, the reason he laid down his life is because he knew he could take it up again. He knew he was going to take it up again. He laid down his life and then he took it up again. That's called resurrection. So I don't know if you can see this. I don't know how wide the angle of the shot is on the cameras for you who are at Lakeside Online today, but we've got a baptistry out here in front. It's at an odd angle. I don't know how this is going to work. I think it's going to be more like a slip and slide baptism. So those of you who are getting baptized today, it's like, woohoo, it's slip and slide baptism. Maybe. I don't, you know, we may put people in, they just slide right out the back. We'll be careful. You know, so we got this baptism, baptistry, and we're doing baptisms today. And here's the deal. Baptism says, I identify myself with Christ when he died for me. I identify myself with Christ. I choose Christ because he laid down his life in the opening for me. And he took up his life again in resurrection. And someone comes up out of the water. They went down and they under the water and they said, I identify with Christ in his death. And then they come out of the water and they go, I identify with Christ in his resurrection. And it changes everything. It's an expression of deep, amazing faith. And that's what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating our connection with Jesus, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And then another thing that it says the sheep or the shepherd does, what this good shepherd does, Jesus says, the good shepherd knows his sheep. In fact, he knows his sheep by name. Have you ever had the experience of being known by someone that you didn't expect that they would know your name? Right, someone in your life, maybe someone that you look up to, someone that's important to you, and they come across your path, and you figure they don't know who you are because maybe you don't, you know, you're not that well known, or you haven't done anything for that important person, or whatever, for whatever reason. But there's this important person in your life, and they cross paths with you, and they say hello to you, and they know your name. I was in Chicago several years ago on vacation, and Lakeside Church is part of an association called the Willow Creek Association. It's a group of about 10,000 churches around the country and around the world, and every one of those churches is led by a pastor, so figure that's 10,000 pastors, and there's a leader of the organization. In those days, his name was Jim Mayotto, and so he had 10,000 pastors to know, just lead pastors, not to mention other staff and things like that, and every now and then, I would see Jim in one of these conventions we got to, or we host a leadership summit, which is coming up, by the way. If you want to get involved in that, check out lakesidechurch.com. And so we host a leadership summit. That's part of that Willow Creek Association. So I'd meet Jim in these various, you know, conferences we would show up or meetings, planning sessions we would show up to and stuff. And you know, he would know who I was there because he was supposed to, and he would have my name on a list. And he could check the list if he needed to. Well, one day I was in Chicago on vacation. I thought, I'm going to go to Willow Creek Church. It's a great church, and it's a good chance for me to check out what's going on and see somebody else, how they do church. You know, nobody does church exactly like this, which is pretty cool, but they do a good job. So I'm like, I'm going to go. And I was by myself, and before the service began, I thought, I'm just going to use the restroom. And I don't know how to give the rest of this talk in church. I'm going to talk about being in the bathroom here at church. So anyway, I'm in the restroom at Willow Creek, and you know, it was quite a while before the service began, and so I'm in there by myself, and then in walks Jim Mayotto, the president of the association. He's like in the bathroom. Who knew these people? No, never mind. And he walks in. He hasn't seen me for months. I'm not on his list. I'm not on his agenda. He doesn't know that I'm going to be in there. And he walks in, and he sees me, and he goes, hey, Brad. I'm like, wow, he actually knows my name. That's pretty cool. When someone that you consider important knows your name, you know that they know. It doesn't slip past you. It doesn't slip past you that they actually knew your name. You know that they know, and they use your name. Why? Because your name means so much to you. Get this. The creator of the universe, the good shepherd, knows your name. And sometimes I think people in the church, they go, well, you know, Brad, he knows your name. The good shepherd knows your name because you're up front. He knows who you are. He knows your name. He knows your name. I can't get over that. We have these morning prayer times online for anyone who wants to jump in. They're on Mondays and Fridays right now. For anybody who wants to, you know, you can look at Facebook Live or Facebook on the Lakeside's Facebook page, and you can see this. A couple of weeks ago, I got a chance to lead one of those prayer times, and I talked about this song that says that. He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. The Good Shepherd lays down his life in the opening for you. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for you. And the Good Shepherd knows your name. And it turns out the whole thing that Jesus was talking about when he said, I'm the good shepherd and I'm the gate, those weren't mixed metaphors at all. Because literally, the good shepherd is the gate. And that's how he treats us. That's how he loves us. That's how he cares for us. And then it probably wouldn't be surprising to know that Jesus asks some things of us. He wants some things for us. He expects some things of us. That wouldn't be shocking after all that he's done for us. You know what he wants? You know what he expects? He expects us to recognize his voice. He expects us to listen to his voice. Well, that's reasonable, isn't it? He's our shepherd. He laid down his life in the opening for us. He gives up everything to protect us. He takes the most vulnerable position for us. When he says, my sheep know my name, you go, well, of course we should know his name. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. That's an interesting one because the word that he uses for listen is the Greek word akouo. It's the word from which we get our word acoustics. Acoustics is the science of being able to hear things in any given space. So we will talk about the acoustics of a room. Well, how about this? How about the acoustics of the hillside lawn? It's good, right? Yeah, why don't you guys thank our tech team? If you can hear the sound of my voice, applaud, right? So you could hear that. Why? Because it's really amazing acoustics out here because of our team and the work they've done. Now, think about this. How are the acoustics in your relationship with Jesus? In this world, there is a lot of ambient noise. These days, it seems that ambient noise gets louder and louder and louder and louder. And that ambient noise can mess up the acoustics in your relationship with Jesus. Check your soul today. How's your soul today? Do you find anger rising in your soul constantly these days? Do you find frustration rising in your soul these days? Do you find anxiety rising in your soul these days? It's highly likely that if that stuff is rising in your soul today, that the ambient noise is drowning the voice of Jesus. Which noise and drowning might be a mixed metaphor in itself. I don't really know. But I know this. Jesus knows you by name, and he expects you to listen to his voice. He just expects it. Doesn't even call for it. Doesn't go, hey, listen to me, you guys. He just says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep will listen to my voice. If you're having trouble with the fruit of the Spirit, if you're having trouble with what should be in your soul, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, if those things are struggling in your soul, it may be that the ambient noise of our culture is making the acoustics of your relationship with Jesus go bad. It's not that Jesus left. It's not that Jesus messed up. It's not that Jesus had a meltdown of some kind. It's that the noise in the world is making it hard for us to listen to his voice. Maybe today is the day to retune our ears to our shepherd. He knows our name. He lays down his life in the opening and takes it up again in resurrection to give us life and hope and peace. That's why he came. And he invites us to lean in by faith. Jesus, thank you for this. Thank you that you love us like you do. Thank you that your voice is clear to us. You speak it clearly, Lord. You call us clearly, and so thank you for that. Now, Lord, for some of us, maybe for all of us, or at least most of us, maybe there are things that are coming up in our world these days that are making it so hard to hear you. Lord, help us to retune today, to tune into your voice as our shepherd. Help us to retune and to hear you and to follow you wherever you take us. And may your sheep reflect who you are beautifully as our good shepherd. Jesus, thank you. We love you. Amen.